Normally my makeup people do this for me. It is hard from 6 feet away, that's right. Putting lipstick on can be a real problem. You throw it, what have you. So, what a blessing, you guys, to know what God does. And to see how He uses ordinary people. Because when God opened the door for me to go to Africa, I just had an invitation. Somebody wrote a letter. We had sent some cassette tapes. Mike Remick actually had sent them to a place called the Prayer of Faith and Track League. And they wrote a letter and said, would you please come? People come and get the tapes all the time, and we'd be blessed if you'd come and preach. And Nigeria was just a name. And I went to Connecticut to have some meetings, and there was a pastor there who'd been to Nigeria. And he said, Brother Isley, you need to be certain that it's God sending you there. I said, well, I'm pretty certain that God has, I just got an invitation letter. He said, well, he said, you can't get through the airport without a group of men around you. So he said, they'll have to come pick you up. And, you know, I've told you this lots of times. They didn't even send me their address. They wrote me letters, but they never gave me an address because they said, we will pick you up at the airport. You can't come to Abba. So, and it was that. It was everything that they would tell you. It was dangerous. And we fought our way into the car from the international airport. Literally fought our way into the car. And a large group had formed and got bigger and bigger as we were getting in the car. And God had given us a soldier who actually wasn't after our money. And I thought all soldiers would be protective. They weren't. They weren't paid. And Nigeria couldn't pay their military people, so they let them get money, like the Roman soldiers, from the people. But God knew what He was doing and knew how to bring me to a place without an address, because I didn't meet my friends at the airport because my flight got delayed over Paris. And I didn't come for 2 days later. So they'd already given up and gone home. But I got to tell you something. God knows how to make an appointment. He knows how to keep it. And that's what the Spirit and presence of God does, is He brings us that work and that word. And then He touched my heart, because I wasn't going to go back to Africa. Having experienced those things. And the people that I worked with, it was wickedness. And so I felt like I needed to just have seminars with pastors and tell them how you live right. This wickedness that's going on, God's going to punish your wickedness. He's not going to bless your wickedness. And I don't care how much you make, there's a real God. And the medicine from heaven is a little bit difficult to swallow, but it's necessary. And I thank God for sending me there, because, you guys, He knit my heart with those people. And I still care about those people in all those countries. And that's what God does, is He knows how to take an ordinary person. You'd think, well, we would need a huge team. We'd need a bunch of people. We need to throw effort at this thing. And God just took me, and eventually took me to Ghana, because He wanted me to be obedient. And you guys, that's what he did with Nigeria. He took me into Nigeria and showed me the last place on the planet you'd ever want to be. I'm just being honest with you. And then I get an invitation from a guy from Nigeria who went to Ghana with his poison. And God, you know, gave me all those dreams about serpents before I left. But you know, here's the thing. God separated that person from the people there in Ghana. That's what God wanted to do. I didn't want to take on a serpent as big as the serpent was in my dreams. I didn't want to do that. And I had a second dream. And the serpent was getting ready to leap at me. God said, just stand still and slap it down. It's like, only in a dream. Are you going to take instructions about a snake and you're going to... I know my reflexes. But I also know my God. And that's just what resolved in my issues. It's okay, well, God told me to do it, so then God knows how to do it. But you guys, that's what God was doing to me. He's telling me, this is going to be a war. Do you want to go to the war? I thought Nigeria was a war. I don't want to go to Ghana and have another war, but Ghana wasn't the same. It was like moving into West Los Angeles. I know, not easy, but evidently you've been to West L.A. But the thing is, you guys, the Spirit and presence of God wanted me to see that could you take a door, just one person and make a difference on thousands of people's lives. If you'd have told me that, I would have doubted just the logistics. Just how would I get to do that kind of stuff? How would God do and use and make those things turn right? But you guys, what I saw is that only God's anointing can break off what years of prejudice and anger can put inside of people. And what God gets done, it's just a love fest. It's about, hey, move in, live here. You guys, I don't know how many people are named for me in Africa. And it's an honor to me. There's a bunch of Ron Rice Lee, what's their names? Their last names are all different. But and Rachel's, there's a bunch of Rachel's. But you guys, here's the thing. What God is doing in your life is the very same thing. What He wants you to understand is that with Him in you, the world is a better place. With Him in you, that's why He's bringing us to the understanding that He is about the things of the hour we're living in. What a perfect opportunity. A lot of people like to live in easy times. A lot of people like to go back to the 50s. So the thing is, you realize that in all honesty, what God's doing is bringing us to a place that the church has got to go back to the absolutes, yeah? I want what was going on in the church in the 50s. I want the kind of Pentecostal revival that was going on in the 50s. I want the Spirit of God to move like He did, where God prayed through men, and they spent time with God. Then when they went out with people, God was glorified, yeah? We need that back. We've got to come back to that place where the Spirit and presence of God knows how to do what He's doing. God, I just pray, Lord, that You would plant in us a desire to spend time in prayer. God, plant in us a hunger for prayer. God, that fellowship that is so divine, that place that is so imperative. God, to draw from You the strength that comes from walking and talking with You. God, bring us in. The world is a busy place. Your word says that in the last days men will be running to and fro. God, we've seen how it feels to come to a screeching halt of running to and fro. God, how antsy the physical man can be. And God, to just be quiet in Your presence, Lord, to have a hunger come upon us, God, to spend time in the holy place. God, to know that we actually have passed through the veil, even as we're praying right now. We're in the very holiest of holies. You're hearing us. We're in the highest councils where You have held meeting upon meeting with the sons of God all the way back from the book of Genesis. You and us. What a miraculous gathering. The mighty God and ordinary people. Extraordinary relationship beyond any comprehension, drawn together to be upon the face of the earth an illumination and a power. And God, we need Your word inside of us, and we need the Spirit of Your presence inside of us. God, I pray again, God, that every one of us would be rebaptized in the Holy Ghost, that every person in this place would be indwelt by Your Holy Spirit. God, that You would speak through us in other tongues beyond our own understanding. God, where Your Spirit would make intercession for us. God, with groanings that could not be uttered. God, we need it. God, we need a revamping of our idea of what the church is. God, it is a dig in, get the ammunition, find the ability to stand, fight against the adversary. Know what the enemy's doing. Understand what tomorrow holds. Get the plan of God. Have the mind of the presence of God in every single one of us so that we are like-minded. God, I don't have to send out information to every person in this body. You're sending it out. God, as we spend time with You, we come to the right conclusions, the same voice. God, what I'm praying is that Your will be done in us as it is in heaven. You're the authority. We're Your people. God, touch this word with that holy anointing of your presence. Come down on it, Jesus. Come down on every heart that hears what you're saying. God, breathe it. Breathe it into every ear. God, breathe this word from your voice to every soul in this place, every heart in this place. God, nobody's left without your spirit and presence touching this word. Illuminate it. Elevate it. Glorify yourself in every way to be exalted. God, we pray it in your holy name. God, we ask you to take my thoughts. Bring this word as you would bring it. God, let me do no damage to it by missing a point that you would bring. God, let me say nothing, God, that wouldn't come out of your mind as you wrote it. God, I want this word that came from the highest places to be delivered as a messenger would deliver it, faithful to the crown. God. And to all of us. And to all of us. God, that this message would become purified because the vessel's purified. God, that the message would glorify you. Because you alone are exalted. God, because our motive is to lift up the kingdom of God. Glorify Jesus Christ. Lord, you alone are worthy of praise and exaltation. Be exalted in everything we do as we live our life. God, in your name we pray. Amen and amen. Thank you, Jesus. I want you to go with me, please, to the book of Hebrews. God has truly given us a blessing. I was praying yesterday morning and I was still in my bedroom just praying, sat on the edge of the bed. As it was, I had thoughts come to me and how God talks to you. And so I had a Hostess cinnamon roll box. And a pizza. So my notes are really kind of, I don't know, they look a little bit like I wrote them on the inside of a box top. But, you know, the thing is, and that's where the Lord began to talk to me about praying for these pastors. You guys, I tell the testimony how God has done great things in our life here at this church. And Michelle Frazier, most of us remember her, black woman. Young woman worked for the state of Kansas. She was a head of the probation department over many counties. And she went to a church that said, if you confess you're well, you'll be well. And that's, of course, a lie. But she tried it because it seemed right. Her mother died from cancer, a grievous death, and she was afraid of it, of course. And she realized she had cancer and began to deny it. And finally, someone invited her here to the church, and she came, and after one meeting, she came up and talked to me. She said, Brother Isaac, listen, I'm afraid that I have been deceived by a doctrine, and I have let my life come to a very critical state. I need you to pray for me. She said, I have cancer, and I've denied it. And I can't any longer. And so she said, I don't know exactly what to do. I said, well, first off, we could go see a physician because we'd like to know how bad this is. And I didn't know how bad it was. She had breast cancer and the cancer had eaten outside of the breast. And she was already in grievous pain. Her dad was a black pastor in Kansas City. Her mom, when she was dying of cancer, had a friend that she invited in to help take care of her. And after her mom passed away, the friend stayed and lived with her dad. And it was grievous to her because they weren't married. And she felt like, as a Christian pastor, her dad needed to hold a higher standard. And I was with her in the hospital the day that she was getting ready to die. And the Lord spoke to me and said, if you want to be here, because I prayed that God would have me there at the time that she passed away, she needed me there. And God said, if you're going to be here when she passes away, spend the night. So I told her, Michelle, I think I'm going to go home and eat some supper, and then I'm going to come back, and I'll just spend the night. And she had the woman that was living with her dad was in the room. God was fixing something. Did you get that? God was fixing something in her heart about this woman and between that woman and her. See, God knows you can't go into eternity with those thoughts that hold against other people something, because you are going to be unforgiven. And nobody wants to show up at the judgment bar of God having believed that you lived a Christian life and find out, well, because they don't forgive others, I cannot be forgiven. You guys, that's a serious word. And so I said, well, Michelle, I think I'll just spend the night. She said, Brother Isley, go home. And she just was talking like if you looked at her and thought, man, she looks like she's getting ready to go home. And I don't mean to Glory, I mean to her house. And I said, well, is there anything I can do? She said, there's a cat. I said, well, I'll take care of your cat. She said, no, it's not my cat. But she said, it comes to my yard and it messes with stuff in the yard. And she said, if you wanted to, you could pick it up and take it away. I said, this is a deathbed request, right? She just laughing. She's having a good time with me. But you guys, she passed away that night. And of course, the next day I came, and nobody was in the room. Her body was there. Well, actually, her dad was in the room. And there, he came out of the room like a man as only a dad would feel. And that's how it kind of served. There's his daughter. And I walked in, and there she was laying on the bed, because I didn't know if they had moved her body or if he'd just been in the room. And so she'd asked me to do the funeral, and he didn't want me to do the funeral at all, not at all. So on the day of the funeral, she had a mammoth crowd of people, judges, prosecuting attorneys. I mean, the professional community had gathered. They found a place in Kansas City in a municipal auditorium large enough to have that woman's funeral. And when I arrived there, her dad met me. He said, now, Reverend, after the funeral service today, we're going to have a dinner at the church, and your church and you are not invited. I said, okay, that's fine. And so God had given me a message. And I talk about this message because it glorifies God. And I tell you all the time, all of you know what the message is. That's just the way God is. But what I realized when I went in that room was that the devil had showed him the coat and said, your little girl's dead. And it was just like when the boys brought Jacob Joseph's coat. Said, Dad, what is this? This looks like Joseph's coat. And the man accepted it. Jacob accepted it. Joseph's dead. Joseph's dead then. And when I got to that part in that sermon, because it was a sermon, when I got to that part, I said, I went up to the hospital, and I said, the pastor here, Michelle's dad, came out of the room, and I could see on his face that the devil showed him the coat and told him, your little girl's dead, and I'm here to tell you, never. Never take the coat for evidence. The outside is nothing unless the devil can show you the soul. It's a lie. And I said, the devil lied to him. But today I'm telling you, and I just looked him in the eyes and said, today I'm telling you. Your little girl is not dead. And God is alive. It's the kind of God you serve. It's the kind of God you serve. You guys, I had, this is the truth, I had prosecuting attorneys, I had a judge come tell me, look, I need your number. I need your address. When I die, I want you to do my funeral. You guys, when proof is not just words, when proof is what you feel, and you feel this thing that says, there's life. She's alive. Everybody in that place could have passed a polygraph test. If you would have asked them, was she dead? They would have said no. They would have said no. Because the presence of God touched every heart in that place. After that service was over, that man came to me. He said, Reverend, we're going to have a dinner after this. And you... And your entire church is welcome. See what God does with hate? You see what God does with hate? It doesn't bypass authority. It doesn't bypass reality. It doesn't change the way that we should treat each other civilly. You get that? What God does is hold us to a higher standard, but you got to see the standard as part of something you have to hold yourself to, yeah? And you guys, that is what God does. It is what He does well. He's a God who knows what's going on in the heart. You guys, Sister Clara Harris, these are testimonies to me that matter a lot. Because she came to this place, she told her daughter, Augusta, is there no black pastors left in Lawrence that you're going to a white man's church? And after a couple of years, finally she said, Augusta, I'm going to church with you this morning. God said, Augusta, back here from California to take care of her mother. And she met somebody here that brought her here. She never looked back. But you guys, listen. Here's what the Spirit and presence of God did. That woman started coming to this church. And she was such a sweetheart. She just would talk to me, talk. It's just wonderful. But after about a year, she came up to me. She said, Brother Ritzy, I know why God sent me to this church. She said, I hated white people. And let me tell you something. I cannot tell you what happened to her child. But no mother could go through it. I've many a time in my mind saw Claire bent over her child. Lord, unconsolable. Unconsolable. The things that happened to that girl put her in a mental hospital. As far as I know, she died in one. Listen to me, she died in one. A heart that can't be consoled is a desperate place to put information. Am I right? And that's what the devil did. He tore her heart open to put in a lie. You can hate and it'll fix something. It will never fix anything. Listen to me. When that person gets to glory, he's going to crumble at the judgment seat of God for the things that he has done. And not only will the punishment be just, but it'll be forever. And what she will never need to do is pass the judgment herself. Because I've got to tell you something, having put peace in her heart, God did a miracle in her life. She said, God healed my heart and took away my unforgiveness. She said, I fear that I would have went into eternity holding against people this thing and have to face God. And He knew I needed to come here. And when you look at her, you would think that's impossible. It is impossible to see this in her life. You guys, listen, we went to do her funeral. And she told me, Brother Ricey, I want you to do my funeral. But she said, you know, I'm a woman of color. I said, I'd never noticed that, Claire. But if you'll explain that to me. She said, in Lawrence, I have lots of pastors who are friends. And so if you don't mind, I'm going to have them do the funeral. I said, Claire, I don't mind. Listen to me. You do what you want to do. You don't defend me. You and I are family. As it turned out, that was misinformation, because when she actually passed away, she changed the stuff, and I was going to do it jointly with the black church. And I tell you this testimony all the time because I love this testimony. And I'm telling you because I want you to live these same things. I'm not afraid of what's going on now because I know what God does when God does what He does. And Claire had an older son, and he'd been in prison for murder. And he'd been a pastor, and he'd been arrested for doing wicked, wicked things. And then she had another son, her youngest son, Jeff, and he was there, and a lot of daughters. And this place was filled with people who did not like white people. Claire wasn't the only one that didn't like white people. And you guys, we were in a Methodist church in Eudora, Kansas. Could have been the very church that the Holy Ghost came out of Charles Parham going to Topeka. I don't know, but here's my deal. I had a woman pastor. And she's sitting on the platform, and the brother that they chose to do the funeral loved me. He loved me, and I loved him. And when I saw who it was that they picked, it's like, yes, this is God. Then they came and they told me, we want you to sing this song, and it was a, you know, quaint, dead funeral song. She said, now the black choir is going to sing first. I said, that'll kill anything else. Yeah. Because if you don't have the black choir backing you up at a funeral, you are in trouble. I could see me and my guitar following the black choir. It's like, everybody points thumb down. I said, well, if you don't mind, I said, Claire asks of me a song a lot of times, and that's, it's all over me, and it's keeping me alive. Because she had cancer. And so she'd say, look, Leslie, sing that song, it's all over me, and it's keeping me alive. So I said, if you don't mind, I'm going to sing that song. See, that's a black choir song. But when I stood up to minister, because they had me minister as well, Jeff stood up before he said, I'd like to say something. He said, I was my mother's favorite son. Child. Yeah, child. I could get the white girl there. The child. Would you guys listen? The problem with deciding you're the favorite child is it can cause discord among all the children, for instance. And it spread like wildfire. And the oldest brother, who everybody in that place feared, stood up. He said, I'd like to correct something here. And he looked right at his brother. He said, I'm mother's favorite child. And you could feel, toward that female minister, and I got to tell you something, she was praying for the rapture of the church prior to the impending tribulation. Now I'm standing at this little microphone. I said, well, now I am confused. Because, Charles, here's the thing. Your mom treated everybody like they were her favorite. Just the kind of love she had. I said, I felt like I was your mother's favorite peculiar colored child. And when I said that, every child in that place and their grandchildren all just, we're going to live through this. Charles isn't going to have to kill nobody. Preacher's already drawn the fire all to him. You can't do better than that. But you guys, God knows how to turn every event you can get into from a tragedy to something real life. And it's because something out of you has to be there. The mind of God has to be there. You have to have an answer better than what the world is looking for, because the world will pitch you against yourself to see if you can give them an answer so that they can fuss with you. You didn't come to fuss. And God said, don't think about it in time what you're going to answer. But listen to me. He did mean to tell you that it's going to come. So you may want to pray. He said, don't make up in your mind what you're going to say. I'll give it to you. Say, so you know what I do? I get in a circumstance and I see I'm headed down a real narrow little thing that gets darker and darker as the further I look. I know, you know what, God, I need you to say something. You told me to say something. And if you don't want me to say anything, you just shut my mouth. Because I'm not going to go that road that takes me down that place that's destructive. And you guys, this is what we need as ambassadors. We need people that can touch the pastors. That man went back to church to preach a different message than he'd been preaching his entire life. He was in his 70s. And God himself came down into that man's heart. And you guys, that's what we need. I need something where God is. You need something where God is. You guys, I'm not capable of finding that answer. God is the only one that could give it. And not only was it not just an answer, it was the anointed presence of God that was reminding that whole place, every judge, every prosecuting attorney. I had young attorneys come and tell me, look, I don't know about your age. But if I'd like to have your number, how I could get a hold of your church, because I want you to do my thing. I was like, man, I mean, this looked like a revival forming around the community of people that were lawyers and judges. The Spirit and presence of God knows how to touch people's lives. That's what I want. And you know what I pray is that it touched those guys, that they begin to seek after that God who made the difference between the coat and the soul. You and I need that reality in this generation, and we need a God that knows how to do what only God can do. Yeah? And He can get it done. So, now, I want to read from the book of Hebrews. You're not dismissed. I love being in authority. And actually, we're not in authority. I just love messing around with people. I've missed you guys. You're like my toys. You know what I'm saying? It's like if I can't say something that gets your attention. Yes. And abuse. Who doesn't miss that? But I want to go to the book of Hebrews with you. And I want to read some of this in the Young's Literal Bible. And so I've made notes. And I just... The reason God says don't give thought to what you're going to say is because these are all the first chapter, first verse of... and that ain't all. And, that ain't all. Okay, but anyway, I got other papers there too. But here's our thing. Well, what I know is that it's just... When you're in a conversation and God's talking to you, it's like, wait, let me write that down. And He's thinking, I want to talk through you. It's like, yes. Okay, let's put it in here. He goes, I don't know. You got this all memorized? But it's just chapter 1, verse 1. Huh. Get it? So that's pretty easy to work from, right? This is. I'm gonna read the King James Bible with you to begin with. We're going to branch out a little bit after that. So chapter 1, verse 1. I guess you probably already know where we're going to read, right? God, who at sundry times and in diverse manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, comma. That is everything from creation to now. To where this is written, yeah? I mean, it's just, that's, if Stephen would have said this, he'd have been dead in just a matter of seconds, right? Because this summed it all up. This is just what it was. Because you know what the message is? We have a real God, and the reason we know He's a real God is because He talks. He talks. You guys, that's the surest sign that there's somebody on the other end of the line. Yeah? So the Spirit and presence of God knows how to bring us down to that understanding. Bring us to that place that God says, hey, let me do something with you. Let me touch you. Why? Because I want you to understand that I would talk to you. David was driving across the bridge, going into Lawrence, and he looked down, the river was dry. And he called me, he said, I have the vision, and he said, I'm, what do you think that means? I said, well, everything upstream has dried up. So you guys, what does that mean? Honestly, this was back when we were just in the COVID-19 stuff. But the thing is, you guys, things begin to dry up upstream. We didn't know that beef was going to cost us $6 a page. So the thing is, the Spirit of God knows how to bring us to that place. But why would God deal with David that way that morning? Because He wants him to know. You know what? You think that there's a relationship with me that requires more, I don't know, of your, I don't know, whatever. But somehow you feel like you're not up to speed with me. Well, you are up to speed with me. I can talk to you like I could talk to anybody. I can show you something and you'll tell the church, you'll bring this before the word. So here's the thing, for judgment, because he didn't call up and say, I had a vision. I'm going to write a book. The day the river was dry. He didn't do that. It's just like, wow. But it is, God talked to me. God talked to me. But I don't know what He said. And that's the glorious thing about what God does. He didn't try to figure out what God said. But what we understand is that when God says, look, this is going to be, you have to have stuff come downstream. Everything. You're going to have peace come downstream. You're going to have healing between people come downstream. You're going to have food come downstream. You can't get people sick in the places that they're working right now and cannot work it anymore. We've got a whole lot of stuff going on because people can't even get in the fields. So you guys, we're living in a place that we don't know. We're uncertain. But the answer is, I will tell you in advance. You know why? Because if I tell you in advance that these things are coming, then you won't worry. Because I've got this covered. I got you covered. I got these things all thought out and taken care of. All you have to do is just keep leaning on me. And that's what the Spirit and presence of God knows how to do, is to bring us to that place. So here's the thing. What God is talking about is this first covenant and the God who speaks. And you guys, you can't spend enough time with that. You could write down page after page after page, because the whole point is that God did something that was very real. But he set down a covenant. And here's the thing. The very basis of him speaking was that you would expect if a God that created the universe spoke, he has authority. The very bottom line of the fact that he's a God, not a God, the God of creation, that you would tremble at his word, that you would take heed to what he said, because you would understand that he has authority. He has authority to tell you, just like he had the authority to tell the chaos, come to cosmos, get out of this place. The Bible said the world was without form. This earth was without form. Do you know what that is? That is stuff that's just kind of floating around in the dark. Yes? And God said, put it together. Make a ball. I want everything to be a ball. I want everything round. Because I'm a God of eternity. And I want you to see this fact that where everything, if the moon's got a circle, you realize, wow, it's getting smaller. Something's going on. God said he was going to put the moon in the sky for a sign to us. The only sign we've got is soft music. Top down on the car, pretty girl, messages. The moon is your inspiration. See, you didn't want to come back to this, but you had to. But that wasn't the sign he was talking about. And we've talked about this lots. But every month, a little bit of that moon goes away, and it's because the earth gets between the light of the sun and that object who has no light. So the moon is a picture of the church. It has no light of itself. But you guys, if I let my flesh, because Adam was made out of the flesh of the ground, yeah? So if he couldn't make a better picture than that, here's this thing made of earth. And when it gets between the light and the object that has to reflect that light, the light goes dark. And so every month, carefully, and here's the point about it, you guys, we don't get cold in our soul all at once. We just don't pray as much. We get busy with stuff. And you guys, life has busy stuff thrown at us. But the thing is, if I don't fellowship with that which I receive the light from, my reflection begins to dim. So that by the end of that cycle, there is no moon. And you realize, oh, no, the moon is still there. It's just that, you know, and that's how come I can never get excited about an eclipse. People get, man, the moon's going to have an eclipse. I'm thinking, every month it does that. Take a camera, do a time-lapse thing. Excite yourself. I don't know. It's going to go dark. Am I right? It goes from light to dark. You can go out on a night that the moon isn't shining and tell yourself, wow, we've got a total eclipse. Tell your family, come out. There's a total eclipse of the moon. Thank you, buddy. But you get what's going on, right? But when it's an anomaly, when it's an anomaly where during the daytime something begins to happen and that earth gets between the sun and the moon, you realize you get to watch it as it begins to do that very thing. So these are the signs that God put in the heavens. So you guys, there's something very precious about what God's doing for us and to us, because he wants us to get that there are seasons. And that's what he's showing us. I'm that consistent. I will talk to you so many ways. And I want you to begin to understand your intelligence. I gave you intelligence. I made you geniuses. Sometimes watching us, I'm sure that it seems like something got lost in the translation. But
but we're very intelligent beings. Honestly. You guys, it's astounding what the human mind can think of. How do you make a bomb out of something you can't see? It's like, hey, why don't we make a bomb? Out of what? I think out of atoms. We've never seen them. That's right. That's right. But I like playing with things I can't see. Like other scientists' brains. Well, that was cruel. How do you do that? How do you just get up one day and say, I think if we would split them, we'd have a catastrophic chain reaction. Where would it end? I don't know, because you know the whole earth's made up of it. Maybe if we blew this thing up on the earth, maybe every little atom would follow suit, and we'd just all be standing there going, boys, we did a bad thing. Our earth is disintegrating and splitting. So don't tell me that we aren't geniuses. God put inside us wisdom. Another thing is, you guys, this is what goes on with God, is that He knows that we're smart enough to hear a voice. And we're smart enough to know what authority would be. If the voice says do something, then you understand there's authority connected with it, because after all, He's God. Can I play with it? How long can I play with it? Because you got to remember that we are gods. He called us gods. Little G. Not big G. We are deep G gods. And that's because what He's telling us is, you know what? You want to rule. I call it kingship. But the thing is, we want to rule in our own lives. We want to do what we want to do. We want to justify what we do. And we want to sanitize what we've done. God said, listen, you come to me. I will change your opinion on how you deal with what you deal with. And I will sanitize what you've got going on. Now, this is what we're getting ready to leave the first verse and go down into. As much as you think we're not going to. But you guys, here's the precious thing about the beginning. Is because in this beginning, this voice, that's how God starts. And He talks about talking through prophets. So not only does He bypass one of the most important things we all understand from the Old Testament, which is God talks to men personally. But He says He talked through prophets. And that's because, as we see what happened to Israel's history, we have a running order of prophets telling Israel, turn around and go back. Turn around and go back. And so we understand that from that we get that the voice was crying out to His people. Now listen, the first cry of God was, Adam, where are you? Listen, when you're looking for a child that you've always had fellowship with, and somehow you can't find that child. Listen, God knew where He was. But He also knew what had happened to Adam, because you guys, there was a distance between him and that son that had never been there. So we get that this God who speaks is also a God of loving relationship. And what He wanted was to never, never have Adam leaving. Never. Do you know why? Because in the beginning, the first thing God created was Jesus. He was the first begotten of the Father. Not Adam. Adam was made from the dirt. No, the first of creation was, the first thing that God said is, let there be light. That was the creative power, right? Let there be light. And that's what the Word of God is. It's illumination. Because in John, when you read John chapter 1, it says, in the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. So how important is that voice then? If the voice is speaking that Word, that can make, that can change, that can build, that can keep us from calamity, that can move us in a perfect direction. You guys, you get the voice, carry authority with it. And all the problem we ran into is that the very first thing that the devil did was took the sun out of the way. Adam was a sun. And what God did is He put this whole earth underneath that sun's dominion. You know why? Because He wanted us to see what a sun would act like in a world full of flesh. And all you'd have to do is come to verse 2. To know what He meant by the sun. Because the sun came upon the scene hated as a baby. That's how real He was of authority. Born, you guys, in a manger in Bethlehem, and Herod the king wants to kill that baby. That's the conflict that had been going on down through the ages. And here's the thing. You know why he wanted to kill that baby? Because it was a son. It was a son. And where the Son of God is, there is a breath in a human being that can stand against the storms It can calm the wind. It can call the angels. It can command armies. It can bring defeat to anything that needs to be defeated. It can uplift people. It can heal the sick and raise the dead. You can't bury a dead person if the sun gets there first. That mother from Nain came out of that place weeping her heart out. And here came an entourage of people around us, the Son of God. And inside of that Son of God was a word that could say, arise. Arise. And that word had that kind of authority and power because it got a hold of the inside of a dead body where the hearing capacity had long since ceased to exist. But that word got inside of that body and it spoke to every cell. It spoke to every part. It spoke to every organ. It came through the brain like a searing light and it raised that child up from the dead and he restored it to the mother. He said, listen, your funeral is over. You've met the Son. Death is defeated. Why? Because the Word of God has authority. It has authority over angels, has authority over the moon, has authority over the earth, has authority over water, has authority over death. Has authority over sin. Has authority over everything in rebellion. Because it's a voice of authority. Now listen, once the Son vacated his place and gave it to Satan. Listen, you cannot give. You cannot give your ground to the devil. You cannot give your ground to the devil. Because when you give your ground to the devil, and all you have to do is just listen to him. And what we're saying is, listen, we're done listening to the devil. We're done. God has power. His endless power. His endless power. It's power alone. His authority. He has authority. This God who speaks has spoken it to you. That's enough. Because once that word comes inside of you, it's enough. Because the devil cannot work against the voice of God. He can't work against the word of God. Everything from Genesis to Revelation stands as stone upon stone upon stone to protect you from the onslaught of anything unclean or evil. God is restoring, rescuing God. These battles are over. They're just over. You know why? Because God knows how to win the battles. You fought a good fight. You've learned a lot of stuff. But I got to tell you something. These old sleepless nights are coming to a close. These battles are coming down to nothing. Do you know why? Because we have a God who knows how to touch. Because His authority is forever. Because He is that. Because He is that. And because He does that. So this voice is a living thing. This voice is forever. Nothing can turn this voice upside down. God's Spirit and presence knows how to bring us to that place that authority changes everything. And you guys, the church is coming to this place that we've been ignoring something in the second verse of this chapter. So, you say, okay, well, how important was it for the Son to obey? Listen, the Bible is talking about the whole creation. It's what? Waiting for what? The manifestation of the whole creation. Do you know why? Do you know why? Because when Adam sold out, chaos took over the earth. And you know how many men went on under the authority of God? Out of all the earth, the whole earth. Out of everybody on the earth. Do you know how many people followed after God? One. One. One man. His name was Noah. Get that? And the opposition was how much? The devil said, yeah, but look, I'm strong. Strong nothing. Give me one man who comes from the lineage of the sons. And I will revive something in that man. Because he'll never forget there was a voice that talked to the sons of God. Yes? A personal voice that talks to the sons of God. Talks to the sons of God. That's the kind of God we serve.
Hand me that oil. Sarah, come here. Put your hand. You got a rag? You got a something to bring me? Bring me that. Yeah, okay. No, you keep this under your hand. And you give me your hand. And you go home to your mother. You look her in the eye and you tell her, mother, God sent a word to give to you. God's going to heal your thyroid. God's going to turn these things upside down. Talk about what he was. He's done with that. That was just his stuff. We went on to the second verse. And you guys, if you think that that was an anomaly, that just one man was there, God called Moses. How many out of a nation? One. And a brother. And a sister. Same mother. Am I right? Then he comes out into the wilderness and they send out the spies. And how many came back? How many went in? Out of 5 to 6 million people, how many went into the promised land from the first group? Two. What are the odds? Listen to me. What are the odds? You know what? The two listen to God. You want to be in that number. I'll tell you where the phone rings best is in your prayer closet. You want to get in your prayer closet? And answer your phone. Because God wants to talk to you about stuff. You get in there until you get an answer from God. Because God will talk to you. He's that kind of God. And what happens? He said, if you draw near to me, if you draw near to me, if you draw near to me, you're going to smell like the fragrance of God himself. And the world will recognize when you walk in the room, I know where you've been. You've been in the presence of God. And you can't get it coming to church. You have to get it going to him. You'll be touched here. You will be touched here. But the victory from God says, you come to me. You come to me. I'm that kind of God. So you guys, you get what happens when the son abdicated the place and he bowed to the enemy. You cannot give the devil the country. You can't give the devil the world. The man ruled over the world. God said, you're going to rule over the world. Listen to me. What is that that a single man could rule all over the world? Well, let me tell you something. If you're on a sea and a storm is raging, or if an earthquake has happened and a tsunami is bringing a wall of water at you, the sun just says, peace be still. And the waves obey. And if it's a storm, the winds obey. And if it's a dead child, the death goes away and the life comes back. He's that kind of God. Listen, what you and I want is to take this first verse and say, thank God you spoke to the fathers. Let me tell you something. He didn't just speak to the prophets. He started talking to Adam one-on-one. He talked to Eve. He said, Eve, what happened? She said, the serpent beguiled me. Adam said, the wife you gave me, all that was about God. It's like, wow, you're the problem. You knew the snake would lie. God said, yeah, and I trusted you. I trusted you. Adam, give her the full message. Don't give her a partial message. Don't tell your wife. Don't act like she's not smart enough to understand what's going on in the kingdom. You tell her what I told you. Tell her verbatim. Tell her everything that it is she has to know. Get this thing down where you understand. This is what it is. This is the message. This is the answer. This is the end of the vexation and the war. Because God has made a line of demarcation. He said, today is the day. And you and I are under that authority. Listen, if I accept it as authority, if I accept it as God said this. Listen to me. God himself said this to me. And if God says it to me, that's enough for me. If God says it, I take it. And if I take it, the devil can't take it away from me. That's what the devil wanted to do to Adam. Through Eve. It's like, come, 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 be beguiled. I'm not beguiled. You're not beguiled. He wasn't deceived.
He went with her. Listen, you and I have to make a choice about authority. And that's what God's telling us. So the old covenant relationship. Listen, go over to Jeremiah and read with me. Jeremiah chapter something. 7, I think. I want to read starting with verse 23, I think. Jeremiah 7. Now you know, this is the last of the prophets speaking while the country still owned its ground. This is ground given by God, yes? And Jeremiah is the prophet. Ezekiel is post-exile. They're already carried out away. They're carried away. The temple that he saw was simply God telling us that there is a celestial temple with that temple, yes? But what he's telling us here in Jeremiah is that there is still a place to turn around. So you guys, this is the desperation of the hour. And this whole book is this. You've read Jeremiah. You read this whole book, something in it just tears your insights out. It's like, how can you hear this? Listen, 7 says this. I want to begin with verse 23. Now let me go back to... Let's go back 19. Because they're telling him, look, he's telling Jeremiah, don't you see what they do in the cities? They're worshiping false gods. So did I tell you 19? Do they provoke me to anger, saith the Lord? Do they not provoke themselves to the confusion of their own faces? So they're angry at me and they want to provoke me. They want to provoke me. You guys, do you ever have anybody want to provoke you? And it's like, God, sanctify me. This thing is trying to provoke me. I need you to get me through this provocation, yeah? Listen. But they are provoking their own selves. You get that their emotion is involved here, yes? If you're provoked, there's an emotion involved, and anger's rising up inside of you. So what he's saying is, you're actually making yourselves angry. You're provoking yourselves. You're angry at me. I'm not angry with you. Listen, you're trying to make me angry. Look. Verse 20 says, therefore, thus saith the Lord God, behold, mine anger and my fury shall be poured out upon this place, upon man, upon beast, upon the trees of the field, upon the fruit of the ground, and it shall burn and shall not be quenched. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, put your burnt offerings and your sacrifices and eat unto your sacrifices and eat flesh. For I spake not unto your fathers, nor commanded them in the day that I brought them out of the land of Egypt concerning burnt offerings or sacrifices. But this thing commanded I them, saying, obey my voice, and I will be your God, and you shall be my people, and walk you in all the ways that I have commanded you, that it may be well with you. Wow. I've commanded you. Why? Authority. You guys, do you know what's happening to America? Rejection of authority. Rejection of authority. Everybody in their right mind knows you can't reject authority. You have to bring it under dominion. Yeah? You can be angry. Listen, there can be stuff that you want to change. But I got to tell you something. Bernie Sanders was a terrorist. He wanted to overthrow this country when he was young, yeah? And what did he do? They blew up a lot of stuff. They caused a lot of anarchy in this country. Then you were like, that's stupid, because they fixed the buildings and they put out the fires and they stopped the stuff we've done. I'm going to run for office. I'm going to make the law. I'm going to influence Congress. I'm going to influence what we do in this country. Man, you guys, there's a whole bunch of people in our government that have went there with the express thought that they could bring this country down better if they made the laws. We've got people running for offices in little towns that want to bring in an agenda. That want to bring in an agenda. And so what happens is God said, here, here's what my church is going to do. Look what he said. This thing I commanded them, saying, obey my voice and I will be your God and you shall be my people and walk ye in all the ways that I have commanded you, that it may be well with you. But they hearkened not, nor inclined their ear, but walked in the counsels and in the imaginations of their evil heart, and went backward and not forward. You see what happened? They didn't hearken. They wouldn't incline their ear. You guys, do you get that you stop hearing when you don't want to? You know, did you stop hearing when you don't want to hear anymore? That's the tragedy of what the human nature is. The human nature was made so that we could become a lot of ourselves, because God didn't want to make us a robot. He didn't want to have a wife that would just say, he just would come to her and she just had kind of glassed over eyes and said, "Yes, I will be your wife. I always wanted to be your wife." He wants her to say things from the heart. Am I right? He doesn't want to program us. And so he gave us the ability to tell him no. Actually, I don't want that. Actually, I wouldn't go with you. If I could avoid going with you, I would go with anybody but you. It's like, oh, okay, well then, you see, that's how you separate who you'd want to marry and who you wouldn't. Right? So he just said, I'm gonna give you this. What is it? It's truth serum. Drink it. How many of you have talked to God and you'd had a big gulp of truth serum? Or to a friend, and you think, gulp. It's like, well, I was talking to somebody on the phone. I said, well, how did that stuff go? The woman said, well, if I was drinking truth serum, I'd tell you. And then she went off and told me stuff you wouldn't tell people if you hadn't had truth serum, right? I thought, wow, what a comeback. I'm thinking about telling people the same thing. Well, if I'm drinking truth serum, and I am drinking truth serum, then I would have to tell you this. Listen, the thing is, what we want to do is, God knows our hearts. So we can put a pretending face on the outside, but listen, he knows whether or not you are purposely yielding yourself to something that is catastrophic, because you are provoking. It's like you feel provoked. And listen, when you feel this provoked spirit come on you, the devil is asking you to provoke God. He's asking you, provoke God. Listen, that you will run into that. Because when people feel that anger and anxiousness and this insult against themselves some way, and that's what Satan brings on, and then he knows you're just going to throw open the door and start provoking God. Listen, there's an authority in God. And you and I are going to surrender to that authority. We are going to surrender to that authority. There's not going to be a way around it, yeah? So he said this. Verse 24, but they hearkened not, nor inclined their ear, but walked in the counsels and in the imagination of their evil heart, and went backward and not forward. Since the day that your fathers came forth out of the land of Egypt unto this day, I have even sent unto you all my servants the prophets, daily rising up early and sending them. Yet they hearkened not unto me, nor inclined their ear, but hardened their neck. They did worse than their fathers. You get what the devil was doing? There was no sons. Bring a son into this circumstance. Bring a man of God who has the authority of God. See, a prophet brings the word of God. You get that? And he's an ambassador from heaven. But he does not carry the weight of a human being that has been marked out as a son of God. Because they that are led by the Spirit of God are the sons of God. And I mean led by the Spirit of God. Prophets were led. Don't misunderstand me. But you guys, what happens is this place of sonship was something that God had made Adam in the Old Testament. But in the New Testament, he said sons, plural. Yes? Sons, plural. That's because Jesus became that answer. No, let's go over here to they did worse than the fathers. Let me read 27. Therefore, thou shalt speak all these words unto them, but they will not hearken to thee. Thou shalt also call unto them, but they will not answer thee. But thou shalt say unto them, this is a nation that obeyeth not the voice of the Lord their God, nor receiveth correction. Truth is perished and is cut off from their mouth. You guys, we're living in a nation that's moving in that direction hard. Not recently. It's been going on a long time. This isn't new. You and I happen to see what's going on because we've taken off the veneer and we've seen what's underneath. So what God is teaching us is, let's move this direction and bring these things to the conclusion that I want you to bring it to. Now, I want to go over and read something in 1 Colossians. Yeah, find that for me, please. It will be in front of 1 Timothy and 1 Thessalonians. More notes. Thank you, buddy. They fell off. Okay. So, here's the thing that I want to read. Let's start with 13. Oh, well, 12. First chapter.
For, oh, that's what I meant by first Colossians. Colossians first chapter. Oh, how confusing it is. Now listen. Okay, then let me start at 9. For this cause, we also, since the day we heard it, he's talking about them being faithful to God, yeah? Do not cease to pray for you and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom. That's what I pray for you. That's what I pray for you. That you'll be filled with all wisdom. Yes? Because I want you to be, to have that wisdom of what to do. Once you know what to do, you're going to do it. See? That's the problem with the church. It's not being led. It's been talked to as though it already understands all the things and all we're waiting for is Jesus to come back. But it has nothing to do with the manifestation of the sons of God. If the whole creation is waiting for something, and you read it in your Bible, and it means nothing to you. It means nothing to you. Listen, you know what's wrong with this country? We don't have the sons manifested. I'm just telling you the truth. Because where the spirit and presence of God is manifested, this warfare is broken off. All of that turmoil is broken off. I mean, it can change whole places. If you can change 400 people in a single sermon, don't tell me you can't do this over and over and over and over again. And you guys, that's what God wants in our life. So He said this. That you might be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. So, I want you to pray. God, I want spiritual understanding. I want these things. I want this verse to become real in my life. I want you to fill me with all knowledge and with wisdom and with spiritual understanding. I want to understand the spiritual side of the things that are going on. I want it your way. Just lead me. God, just teach me. You guys, it isn't taking us into a dark place that's all covered with roots and stuff, and we're just kind of finding our way through, and everybody whispers, this is the spiritual world. It is not that. If you're in the spiritual world, it is well lit. It is well lit. And what happens is, the wisdom, because He first asks you to get this, to get wisdom, to be filled with knowledge, all wisdom, and spiritual understanding. See how He starts with those first two things? Wisdom and understanding? Wisdom and knowledge, I mean? And then understanding spiritual things. Because you guys, wisdom and knowledge keeps me from getting into this place of just making up things or having the enemy make up things and I can't tell the difference between his voice and God's. Yeah. Now listen. That you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing. Wow, you guys. That's what God's doing to us. You see, that's what I was talking about, David. If you don't feel like you've been pleasing to God, and you guys, listen, all of us suffer that. That's not unique to you. But it's like, I don't know that I'm pleasing to God. Then He just gives you vision and He tells you, do you please me? Because I'm talking to you. And I'm giving you information. I'm talking to you something that is a secret between me and you that people are going to need to know. And I'm telling you in advance, because you're not going to crumble because the stuff upstream dries up. Yeah? But it is that. It's the sense of how do you know that you really are important to God? It's because He talks to you. Amen. He talks to you. And it's like, well, He talks to my wife. That's good. Yes, that's good. Everybody knows it's good. He talks to your wife. Yes. But the thing is, you want Him to talk to you. And that's what happens. So He talks to your husband. He talks to you. But here's where you get the voice of God. Where? In a prayer closet experience with God. So don't leave off that sense of drawing close to Him, because if He has that sense of you belong to Him so much that He would talk to you, then let His Spirit and presence foster that. Let it grow up. Let something come out of it that's even more. So He said this, that you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. Increasing in the knowledge of God, yes? Strengthened with all might according to His glorious power. Strengthened with all might. Listen, that's what you want. You want to be strengthened with all might according to His glorious power unto all patience. And you see, I like that because it says according to His glorious power. That means He should be glorified in what happens, yes? His glorious power. Unto all patience and long suffering with joyfulness. I love that, you guys, because there's two kinds of patients. You're in a hospital,
And nurses are waking you up all night. And you have to have patience with them because they're just nurses. Or, you can be a person who allows circumstances that bother you to not bother you. Because you're patient about it, yes? Or you can pray for something and it doesn't happen when you would like, but you're still jovial with God. Because you know that He's in charge of all these things. Listen, giving thanks unto the Father which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. Listen, you open the Bible and there's your name. And then you're caught off guard. It's like, my name is there? What's my name there for? Wait a minute. It's in the will. I'm going to inherit. I'm an inheritor of the kingdom of God. And listen, to be in it is a wonderful thing. To inherit it is a way deeper meaning. I'm an inheritor of it. I'm going to inherit the kingdom of God. That means I'm going to have it given to me, and I'm going to cherish it as property. I'm going to live on this understanding that here's the reason I'm living like I am now, because I am going to inherit something way more valuable than anything I ever have thought of. Yes? So he says this, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us. Translated us. You guys, do you know how long it takes to translate something? When I speak to somebody in English and the translator speaks it in Spanish, it's instant. In fact, they're thinking while I'm talking. Their mind is running for the translation right then. So he translated us. This is a past tense thing. Am I right? And hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Now look at verse 15. Who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature? Jesus is the firstborn of every creature? That's what the Word was, yeah? That's what the light was. The firstborn of every creature is called a living thing. That's what a creature is. It's a living thing. And he's the firstborn of that. So you guys, listen. God starts a covenant with a perfect start. He starts with light because now you can see what's going on. And it means just not just that there's illumination around you, but there is information around you. See, when your car don't run, you just need information on how to get it to run. My speedometer didn't work for years on my little car. I had a Chevy. And it didn't work. And I had a dream that I got in my car and started driving forward and my speedometer started working. And I thought, Lord, that's it. Because it's just an interesting dream. I mean, you're the God of heaven. I'm the God of the little Chevy that doesn't have a speedometer. I drive at random anyway. Not too much laugh there. Not too much. And I'm out in my car, and I'm doing something else. I'm putting a little, if I remember correctly, I was putting the little rubber pad off of my brake thing back up on it. It slid off because my foot evidently is rough on the brake. But anyway, but there's something hanging down underneath my dashboard that had been hanging down there for a long time. But when I looked at it, it plugged in. And it plugged into a little square thing. So I thought, well, that wouldn't take a genius to figure out. This must belong to something. So I just thought, well... And I looked under there, and there's this square thing. I hooked it to it, pushed it upon it, and I thought, well, there it is. I've fixed that. I'm practically a mechanic. But you guys, then I didn't drive right then, but later on during the day, I backed up. Nothing happened, of course, because your speedometer don't work in reverse, thankfully. And I start forward, and it's working. And I'm thinking, how is that doing that? And then I remember, oh, that what was hanging down. You mean all these years I just would have had to go, and I would have known what speed I was doing in a school zone? What? But you guys, you get the difference between illumination and understanding? You turn on the light. You just turn on the light. He gives me a dream, but he didn't tell me what to do. He just told me, you're gonna. But you know what he wanted me to know? I'm talking to you about little tiny things. From now on, you pay attention to what I tell you, because I'm going to talk to you about little tiny things, and you're going to think, wow, this is God talking. And you know, he doesn't start with a life-death thing. He didn't give me a dream, but I came rushing in too late to touch somebody because they'd fallen into the river and drowned. Like, wow, I wish I'd been here before. If I'd understood the dream earlier, I'd have been here earlier. See, he don't start with death. He starts by talking to you, then you realize, oh, he's talking to me in a dream. Then if you have a dream that somebody is getting ready to fall in the river, you know where it's at. You just go to where the river is, so you don't want them to fall in. Am I right? Yes, because that's what illumination with knowledge is. Put this information to use. You guys, that's what God wants to do to me and you. So the Word of God gives us information, but I want it to be a revelation. I want it to be an illumination. So that's what he starts with, is Jesus Christ is this first begotten. And what he starts out by calling him the light. Wow, that's great. Jesus said, I am the light of the world. I am the light of the world. And John chapter 1 said, and the light shined in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. He came to his own, and his own received him not. I want to receive that light. You want to receive that light. You've got that in your heart. You've got that in your mind. And when you realize that you have been picked, listen, it's like getting a scholarship to the greatest university on earth, and somebody else is going to do your homework and pay your tuition. And then you're going to get the diploma. Yes? And you're going to make big bucks. Why? Because someone else got A's on your report card. Do you know who got A's on your report card? Do you know who got A's on your report card? Jesus did. Jesus did. He got A's on your report card. And he gave you the scholarship. And that's why you're going to inherit this stuff. Because he knows how to get you from where you're at to the victory of the things that he's proclaimed for your life. He's not going to cut you short. He's not going to leave you out. And he's going to be proud of you. And listen, when you get your diploma, you're going to be the only one that stands there looking at him going, thank you. And you're just going to live at times. I owe this all to somebody. And you mean it. I mean, I owe this to somebody. He fought my battles. He won my victories. He indwelt my life. He illuminated me. He brought me wisdom. He brought me bread. He brought me heaven. And he gave me heaven as an inheritance. As an inheritance. If you're going to inherit heaven, you are blessed. But if you're going to go there with the wisdom and the knowledge that says, listen, I have this because why? Listen to verse 15. Who is the image of the invisible God? That's Jesus, yeah? The image of the invisible God. The firstborn of every creature. He's the firstborn. No, nobody else is born before him. Not Adam. Not the multitudes on the sixth day. Not that. He was born first. God started with a plan that could not fail. And the reason I say that is because he started with a word that couldn't be diminished. He started with a kingdom that couldn't be changed. He started with a proclamation all the way to the end. That's how it worked. Because he started talking from the beginning about the last day on this planet. Do you know why? Because he has that kind of authority. He never talked to you about that first covenant being the end of all things like we do now. That's because we understand what came to an end. But you guys, listen, he never did that because he took that word. And that word reached all the way to the very last minute, to the very last soul coming in. Somebody's going to throw down a beer can, turn themselves toward God, bow their knee, start running after Christ, and they're going to come up with this conclusion. I'm serving him. And then the bells are all going to ring. Because that was the last soul on the earth that waited for that child to come home. It's like a parent who leaves the light on at night. And you've got five kids. They're all teenagers. That's a scary thought. But I'm just saying they're all teenagers. And you leave the light on. But you know how long you stay awake? You know how long you stay awake? Till the last. Till the last child comes home. Not the first. You go, okay, that's good. They're home. He's home. She's home. Till the last child comes home. That's what God did. He took this power of what that word and authority was. And he said, men are going to obey it, but I tell you what, the world's going to obey it. Time is going to obey it. A kingdom is going to obey it. My word is going to rise up inside of a people. And when I get done with this thing, there's going to be a multitude of people that will have given their life to serve me. They will have walked down through the fire. And they will be rejoicing. They'll be singing the songs of Zion because they're headed home. And nothing's going to turn around. Instead of it being one man in the place of standing in the right place, it's going to be a multitude standing in the right place. And the opposition is going to be outflanked and outdone and beaten at Calvary. And I'm going to win this thing forever. Thank God I am this first begotten of the Father. Now, I intended to get a little further in Hebrews chapter 2, or verse 2, not chapter 2. No, not that far. I just was thinking chapter 1, verse 2. So let's go back over here to Hebrews. And you guys, listen, you're glad you're here on Saturday because that's why, that is exactly why. Out of the mouth of babes. Now listen. This word hath, if you look it up in a Greek lexicon, the Greek word instead of hath is spoken or speaks. So I use the word spoke because it works right in this thing. So they put hath there because it says hath in these last days spoken. So they thought, it's redundant to put speaks right there. Or spoke. Okay? But let me put spoke in there. Because it says, in times past and in divers manners, he spake unto the fathers by the prophets. Spoke in these last days. Spoke unto us by his son. So you see, it is a definite standing, because the first verse has this thought, we have a God who speaks. Now he's talking about the last days, and he wants you to know, you know what I'm going to start with? Spoke. This God speaks. Here it is, his voice shows up. I appreciate the fact that they thought it was redundant, but I think that the Young's literal does it better. But anyway, here's the deal. Spoke in these last days, spoke unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things. Now listen to me. You know why he's appointed him heir of all things, right? It's because Adam had all things. God appointed all things to Adam, and Adam gave them to the enemy. Now, God reappoints him as the heir of all things. All things. Now you want to put that little phrase down because we're going to run into that little phrase again. We're going to run into that little phrase again. So here's what he says. Spoke in these last days. Spoke unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, thank God, by whom also he made the worlds. So who made the worlds? The Word did. The Word made the worlds. It goes back to this creative power. This is why we're not on the losing end of the proposition, though Noah stood alone. Caleb and Joshua stood as just two men going in out of a mire, out of fighting, and you guys, the odds were against us. That's because the Son gave up his position in the world, and he gave the devil the place of rulership, and the devil came in like an onslaught against humanity. You think that hasn't risen up in our generation? You think that's not what's happening right now? The enemy is rising up in this generation to proclaim himself the power and the glory. Because he is standing against authority and making authority take the abuse as though the authority is the problem. It isn't that. It's men who don't walk right in their authority. It's men who don't do right in their authority. You guys, and how do you change the hearts of people that are wicked inside? I complained about a policeman that did something wrong. A man had been in prison and he bragged that he was going to get some sort of vengeance against the chief of police's son. And the sergeant was the chief of police's brother-in-law. You get how the family tie worked there. And this guy gets out of prison, and I've told you this story before, and he got drunk. He was in the back of a cab over camper on the back of a pickup truck. It was going up a hill, up an incline, and the bunch of cars had stopped at a red light on the other side. It went over the railroad track, so it's a fairly steep incline. He's on the east side of McCook. He's on like 5th Street or something, and he's going uphill. And this guy's so drunk, he thinks he's arrived at the party, so he opens the door, but about that time, the people in the front move, and the truck goes forward, and he swings out and tries to run along behind the truck, eventually grabs onto the bumper, and he's dragged along behind this car until it gives him terrible road rash. The people in the truck don't know he's dropped off, and so they keep on driving, and there he is on the road. And he's really injured. So people call an ambulance. He doesn't want an ambulance. He's been in trouble before. He's intoxicated. He's minding his own business. He was in among his friends. He's in the back of a camper. And where he was, nobody was upset at all that he was drunk. They took him to the hospital. He wouldn't accept help. And he leaves the hospital without medical consent. Now, you know, that's against law. Don't we, Kevin? So I get a call that he's left this hospital and he hasn't done anything wrong, and I'm running this through my mind. What has he done? He's on the back of this camper, and that's what the witnesses said. He swung out in the street and he held on, and he's drunk, he's confused, but he's not causing me no trouble, and he didn't want the hospital people to touch him. Still no law broken that I know of. And then I hear, I call out, I have the subject, and I hear that sergeant say, "Keep him where you're at." I ignore him because it's come through dispatch over the radio. Am I right? I'm not the only one that heard that. And so another police officer arrives first because this guy had been notorious for being trouble at the hospital. He's already rebuilt his reputation. And I'm thinking about him getting out of prison because I've had a prison ministry. See how God builds our understanding about things? And this is how life changes. And so I'm trying to put handcuffs on him before the sergeant gets there, because if I have him under arrest, I'm just going to put him in my car. And this sergeant comes up, and he jumps out, and he comes, and he starts talking hateful to this guy, and he grabs his leg. I'm just telling you the truth. And he pulls him out, and as he falls, this policeman drops down with his knee and his kidney. But he had the guy's foot under his arm, and he broke his own rib. The sergeant broke his own rib, knee dropping in this guy. And he put the word out, "Hey, if you see this guy, call me. Don't arrest him." So that's how come I was leery about this thing happening. So the policeman went to the hospital, and this guy's going to go back to prison because he assaulted an officer and did bodily harm. I went to the chief of police. I said, "Listen, I'm going to file a report the way that happened. I'm going to put down exactly what happened." I said, "I'm not against police department. I'm not against law enforcement. But I am against that kind of behavior. And so I don't think this should ever go to court." You guys, I went in opposition to the authority of that police department. It should never have been in opposition to the police department. But you know what the problem was? The problem was that the chief's son had been singled out by this guy as a threat. See how you would think that it would be good to put him back in prison and then he wouldn't be a threat to your son anymore? Get how this stuff unwinds around you? It's about a thought process. Do you know why God wants to change our thought process and illuminate us and bring us understanding? Because he doesn't want us to operate according to the flesh. He wants to bring us back to that place that God can talk to us. I'm watching clearly what's going on. I'm not saying that I'm better than other people, but I can tell you something. I know what's wrong and I know what's right. So you guys, that guy went back to prison. So here's what I get. I get this has to be changed. And I voiced my opinion right then. I said, "You hurt yourself. You hurt yourself." You guys, it isn't enough that one person makes a stand, but we have to have a regeneration in the hearts of people. That's the difference that makes the difference. And you guys, that's where you and I have to walk in this work, where the Word of God brings these things to fullness. So he said this, "Listen. Hath in these last days, or spoke in these last days, spoke unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory, and the express image of his Son." And that is, the express image of his Son is actually like an impress. So you remember back when they began to do pictures out of carvings, and they would cut carvings, and then they would stick it down on ink, and then they would put the carving with the ink where the parts stuck out, and then you had your picture. So that's an impress. It's what we do when we do printing. Printing is an impress. So, who being the brightness of His glory and the express image of His person, it is as though God is etched, and now He's inked and put down on the paper, you could see what God is. Because no man has seen God at any time, except the Son, yes? Now listen, now we're back to the word all things again. So He's the brightness of God, He is the mystery, God in manifest in the flesh, yes? So this is what He says. And upholding, that's what He upholds. What did Jesus uphold? All things. We're back to the all things. Because when you read that, don't you want to know what He upheld? Because listen, all things is a lot of stuff. But what He upheld was the authority God gave His son Adam to walk in this earth as an authority over the things that are going on contrary to what the peace and the blessings of God would do. Now you guys, the church isn't operating in that kind of authority. We're just glad to congregate and talk about Jesus, and there's nothing wrong with winning souls. That's a wonderful thing. But you got to grow people up into the place that they can operate like children of God and then ultimately like sons of God. You want the church to have that kind of authority and impact on the generation you're living in. I don't want it to be just congregated in here. And I think that's what we've done, is we've honestly stayed at home, but we saw that it was time to just seek God. It was time to get a hold of the throne, get in there where God dwells, and got that fragrance on us so that the world would know what's happening as us as Christians. I am that kind of Christian. You are that kind of Christians. And sometimes I get to bed at midnight, and at 3 o'clock I wake up to pray. That's because the Spirit of God is talking to me about, you and I need to talk about something. And sometimes it's later, sometimes it's earlier, sometimes it's late at night. But you guys, I'm not done until I feel like that brooding of the Spirit of God is talking to me. Let's talk. When He stops, that's the thing. It's like, okay, then I'm satisfied. I've been there. That's what you want. He wants your fellowship and that covenant relationship to develop into that kind of communication. So He said this. Who being the brightness of His glory, expressed image of His person, and upholding all things by the word of His power. So you see that word that was the first begotten? That word that was the first begotten showed up again in this place of authority. You know why? Because it always existed. It was a proclamation by God, these things shall surely come to pass. And you guys, because God did that, He could leap ahead past everything that the devil was going to do with owning the earth until He had a son that got all things back. Yes? All things back. So you need to just tell yourself, hey, we got all things back. He's got all things back. And therefore, I'm an inheritor of all things. I have a word from God that says, I have all things. He has all things. And everything the devil won. That's why up on the mountain of temptation, the devil told Jesus, I can give you these people, they're mine. Jesus didn't argue with him. He said, the Jewish people, they're under an enemy. They're under me. And if the only way you can get them is to bow to me. Jesus said, no, that's not the only way to get them. I have a word from before anything ever was. I have a word. And it has transcended all these things. And you know what? It's going to go to the very last breath on this planet. It's the kind of God I am. Listen. All things by the word of His power, when He had by Himself purged our sins. See how it just does this. It just picks up and it starts going so fast. You guys, this is like talking to Benjamin. Because he just talks really fast. I don't know where the cutie guy is, but him and Ethan both, they talk conversations. But Benjamin will talk information because he's training dogs and he's learned how to train dogs. And there he is. And he'll tell you stuff about training dogs. And when I don't do something right, he's gentle, but he's forthright. Dad, that's not right. Listen. When He had by Himself purged our sins, set down on the right hand of the Majesty on high. Look how rapid fire this is about God explaining how fixed things are. Nothing. Nothing is broken. Nothing is in the devil's hands. Nothing. Nothing's in the devil's hand. I don't care what he tells you he can do to you. He cannot do it to you. Nothing's in his hands. Listen. He sat down on the right hand of the Majesty on high. Now listen, and I like what the Young's translation does here because it calls it messengers. Being made so much better than the messengers. I don't care prophets. I don't care angels. Because it meant everything. It meant angelos in the Greek. But okay, so angels. But listen, it meant messengers. Every messenger from God. Don't tell me that Elijah wasn't a messenger sent from God. Don't tell me that Nathan the prophet wasn't a messenger sent from God. These are men sent from God. But was that messenger more important? Was there ever a messenger more important than the Word? Listen to me. Is there ever a messenger more important than the message? No. If you have no message, you're worth nothing. I don't care if you have little fluttery wings, and I don't think angels have wings. I don't know. But I got to tell you, I think angels are kind of muscular gills. Yeah? Everybody that ever met one got terrified. I don't know exactly what they look like. Kind of describe them like men, but everybody I know trembled in their presence. Could be the presence of God. I don't know. But here's what I do know. Messengers are not more important than the message. And what's happened to the church is that it has seemed to ferret out this idea that somehow the messenger was more important than the message. You guys, unless you're thinking about buying me a Rolls Royce, No frivolity. Thank you. Stay serious when I'm serious. You guys, you get what goes on in this world? You get what goes on in the world? That the messenger gets elevated? And listen, we're talking about Jesus. And I know that Him in the entity of who He is the impress of God, is empowered, filled with illumination. But I got to tell you something. We have Him in us. And so what happens is that when the Word comes inside of me, I have a Word from God. But I am not more important than the Word. And the Word is what does what God sent it to do. And what you and I are living on is this understanding that the Word is the message. And the message is more important than the messengers. And it doesn't matter if they come down out of heaven. It doesn't matter if they ascend to heaven. What matters is that the message has to be from the throne. And if the message is from the throne, that's good enough for me. If the message came from on high, that's my prize. So from Genesis to Revelation, I have been delivered this much information from God's own voice. I have this much that God spoke to me, to you. And I cannot deny the fact that in my house I have a bunch of these things. And all I have to do is get one out in the middle of the night, turn the light on, and begin to read. I have this message. And if I don't have the message, I'm not a messenger. And that's what you want. So it's like, here's the thing. It's not about doing a work. It's about getting the message. And that's what you and I are doing. We're getting the message. And God's changing all kinds of stuff in us. He's pointing at little tiny things we didn't even know. Yes? And then what happens is we begin to deal with those little tiny things. And then the message begins to resonate with us more and more. So He said this. Being made so much better than the messengers, as He hath by inheritance obtained a more excellent name. The message. The Word. A more excellent name. For unto which of the messengers said He at any time, "You are my son. You are my son." Listen, if God is the Father of the Word, if God is the Father of the Word, and He's the Father of the obedience of the Word of God, yes, because Jesus was totally obedient. He was surrendered in all points. He took His flesh, and this is what never happened under Adam. We never had a son that took His flesh to absolute surrender. That was what God was looking for in Adam. Adam, if you'll bring your flesh to absolute surrender, this will work on all mankind. Not that I'm going to make everybody do it, but I'm just going to tell you it'll work on everybody. So do it. We can get this thing done. So here's what He said. For unto which of the angels said He at any time, "Thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee." And again, "I will be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son." Now in the Young's Literal and in the American Standard Version, it both says this verse differently. It puts "when" in front of "again." Puts "when" in front of "again." So I'm going to read it the way the Greek said it, okay? And you can look it up if you've got a Greek Bible. You can look this verse up. So, this is what he says in the Greek. And when again, do you get the difference? Because he's talking about that God has done these things. Now listen, but if he says when again, he bringeth in the first begotten into the world, if he brings him in again, means he was already here. The first begotten, of course, was here from the beginning. But he mentions that he brings him in again. So here we have this first begotten, which is the real Word of God, the undiluted Word of God. This Word of God with the absolute presence of flesh of a Son. Yes? Yes. So it is the Word incarnate. We use that all the time. It's the Word incarnate. You guys, this is what does damage when people talk about three gods. There's no such thing as three gods. Listen, God was manifested. Three different manifestations. But you get the idea. He started out as a spirit. God's a spirit. And then what's the Holy Spirit? It's spirit. And for 33 little tiny years, he lived in the flesh so that we would understand what God looked like if we could look at him with our attributes, our attitudes, our sense of right and wrong. You see, living in the flesh, what men decided was he was too soft on sin. But if he's God, then it means that God was too soft on sin. Or they misunderstood God and made him a mean God. Listen, what we've done with the Trinity thing is we've made God kind of a judgmental, angry God that needed a son that was tender because he lived in the flesh and became a high priest. And so he goes to the Father and says, "Oh, Dad, please don't beat them like that." That ain't what he is. Not what it is. So the Bible said, I alone am God. There is one God. O Israel, there is one God. That was different. Moses came out of a many doctrines, many gods, bunch of gods. Antiquity had them. So he was the first person that ever talked about a single God above all things. Moses, monotheistic God. That was what Moses was. So here's where we're at. We're at this place that we want to go back to the voice of the enemy. This is there were actually three gods. Holy Spirit's not a God. He is God. Jesus isn't a God. He is God. God isn't a God. He is God. Yes? So what happens is that he was a spirit from the beginning, and the Spirit dwelt in Jesus. And what made the difference? Man came to Jesus and said, "Good Master, what must I do to be saved?" He said, "Why callest thou me good?" If he was a God, in that category, he would have understood why he called him good. Because God is good. He said, "There's none good but God." That's interesting. But when Philip said, "Show us the Father and it will suffice us. If you'll show us the Father, it will suffice us." Jesus said, "Philip, have I been so long time with you and have you not known me? You didn't know who I am? I'm God. Show us the Father." He said, "I haven't showed you the Father." He said, "What I see the Father do, that I do. How in the world could you miss this? I'm in the flesh. I'm flesh. But this flesh isn't God." And as soon as that flesh was crucified, you guys, he didn't go back into it except for Timothy, or from Thomas. Thomas said, "Unless I see the nail scars in his hands, these people are messing with us. Unless I see the nail scars in his hands, I'm not going to believe he's resurrected." Because everybody said he didn't look like him. Mary thought he was a gardener. Listen, the men on the road to Emmaus didn't recognize him. He came back in a different body every single time. These guys were amazed. It's like, how many of you are there? And you see, what he was showing was this church. They kept seeing you, yeah. They said, "Man, that looks a lot like Greg Collins." And one said, "No, it looked like Matt Risley." "No, it looked like Matt Catter." It's like, "No, look." And you know how that got on, yeah? I said, "No." Well, of course it did. Because he came inside of a many-membered body. And that's what he wanted. He wanted to be at 1,000 places at the same time. If he could be at 1,000 places because he is in you and you are there, that's what makes the difference. So I've got to read a couple more verses. Wow. Listen. So verse 6 says, "And when again he bringeth in the first begotten into the world, he saith, let all the messengers of God worship him." Listen to me. But all,
the messengers of God worship him. You guys, I have no doubt the angels worship him in heaven. I have no doubt. The Bible tells me they do. But I'm talking about the messengers. I'm talking about the messengers. Let all the messengers of God worship him. You guys, we've turned a lot of church into flesh worship, personality worship, cult worship. You guys are going to go back to God. So this is the thing. And of the messengers, he saith, who maketh his messengers spirit. He makes his messengers spirit. You guys, I got to tell you something. As much as I appreciate the fact that angels could show up anywhere, inside of places, just like Jesus did, they were all gathered, the disciples were all gathered together, and he stood in the midst, and man, it gave them all a heart attack. Am I right?
Yeah.
And he upbraided them. I like that. He took it a little bit further. He told them a spooky story. He upbraided them with their unbelief. I don't know what that means, but he used their unbelief for a moment to upbraid them. Yeah?
Yeah.
I'm just having fun with you. Who maketh his messengers spirits. I like Philip. I like Philip. God said, I want you to go down into the wilderness. He's having a great revival, yeah?
Yeah.
So I want you to go down and join yourself to this chariot. See that chariot over there? Join yourself to it. Guy's reading from the book of Isaiah, yeah? And Philip turns himself. The guy says, hey, now that you're here. Well, yes. Is he talking about himself or someone else? So he's talking about Jesus. Man, he tells him about salvation. The guy said, hey, here's a pool of water that's never been here before out in the wilderness. How about you baptize me? Philip said, sure. They go down in the water together. But when the Ethiopian comes up, Philip's gone. Well, seems spiritual to me. Okay, I'm looking at you. Because see, when I do this, I can't see what you're actually doing. I cover all my, you know, it's just like when I look through my glasses, it's like they're all receiving this look. They're crying. Then I look down, it's like, oops, they're frowning. So put your glasses back up. I love that about myself. Listen, and of the messengers, he saith, who maketh his messengers spirits. Yes, he does. Put Peter in jail. And you send the people to go get him. They go, well, he's not in jail. Shut up. And everything was locked. But he was up in the square where you arrested him yesterday and commanded him not to speak in the name of Jesus. They said, well, bring him carefully then, huh? Listen, am I right? He maketh his messenger spirits. And you guys, you can show up. You don't know how much God can use of these things to put you in the right place at the right time. Now listen, who maketh his messenger spirits and his ministers a flame of fire. Okay, you ran out of time. Man, I got five more. No. Yes. Okay, so, but you guys, what a blessing it is to have God do what God does. And we're in the presence of a never failing God. You and I, yes? So that's why we can march around the throne. Let's stand together. Thank you, Jesus. He's a mighty God. So, let me just thank you for all you are, all you do, all you have been to us. God, I have seen your glory in this place today. I've seen it. God, I'm humbled with all these people who are all humbled that you would come as you have promised into this midst and touch all of our hearts. God, every mind changed. Every heart more surrendered. Every spirit more impacted. Every soul more cleansed. God, what your word has done has been an everlasting message brought to that place of everlasting glory. God, I thank you for being here today doing what you do. God, I just praise you for how you've worked with us. God, touch Ethan's back. God, I pray it in your name, Jesus. Touch Rachel. God, I pray that your spirit and presence, Lord, would bless and strengthen her. God, that your word would touch every person in this place. God, we thank you for your divine presence. God, you're after us. You just keep touching us. God, you are in pursuit of us. I can see, God, that you are pursuing us, and we are grateful for that. Every person in this place, every person in the front row, you've been in pursuit of. And God, they keep turning around and grabbing a hold of you. It appears they're not evidently running from you, they're running to you. God, that blesses my soul. Every person on the sides, every person through this entire sanctuary, God is in pursuit of you. And God, what we pray is that you would bring us to that full and final conclusion that there is one relationship above all others. There is one throne, and the Son sets upon that throne, because if the Word is not exalted, God is not exalted. If God is exalted in the flesh, and we see what He did in the flesh, mercy, mercy rewrote my life. God, the love of God reached down into the miry clay and pulled me out. God, you have grabbed all of us in front of an impending disaster and rescued us. God, we stand assured on that affirmation. This day, glorify your name forever, we pray. In your name we ask it. Amen and amen. Thank you, Jesus. All right, the Lord bless you guys. Go in peace, and the Lord willing, we'll see you next Saturday. If we have to keep doing this on Saturdays, this worked out great. So, all right, Lord bless you. We love you guys a bunch. And thanks for everybody that just kept checking in on us to make sure that we were still doing all right. That's a blessing, showing up and helping us work, putting in fence posts and cutting down stuff. We thank you for that. And we the house, you should need to come by our house and see what Greg and Mike have contributed to help fix up our house. They've done, and I kept telling them, you know, this could be like a deep hole. Yeah, this could be. And they said, oh, no, not free. But there were things to be done. They have really sent guys to do it right, and it's a blessing. So I appreciate everybody that's been so generous and kind to us. So we love you guys a bunch. And Lord willing, if you sneak back in tomorrow, I'll say nothing. But you know how that works. Lord bless you. Home peace.